Welcome to the New Process Podcast. Learn all the tools, methods, and best practices combined with people, emotions, and a human-centric mindset to rethink your process and push it to the next level. And here is your host, Mirko Kloppenberg.
Yeah, welcome to episode 32 of the New Process Podcast. Today, we're going to talk about how process mining takes BPM to a whole new level. Therefore, I have the honor of speaking with Professor Dr. Will van der Aalst. Will is Alexander von Humboldt Professor at RWTH Aachen University, Chief Scientist at Celonis, Chair of the Process and Data Science Group, Group Lead at Fraunhofer Institute of Applied Information Technology, Member of the Board of Governors at Tilburg University, Board Member of a number of functions at RWTH Aachen University, Adjunct Professor at Queensland University of Technology, Full Professor at Eindhoven University of Technology, and he is also known as the godfather of process mining. Will studied computer science at Eindhoven University of Technology and received his PhD in mathematics in 1992. Will is thought leader, author, and speaker in the fields of data science, business process management, and process mining. And Will is one of the most cited computer scientists in the world. He even has his own Wikipedia article where I realized that we both have our birthday on 29th of January. How cool is that? Will is father of four children and he's living with his wife and their dog in Aachen. Besides all his professional roles, he also likes to hike, for example, in the Alps. In the interview, we talk about Will's experiences and recommendations on how to involve the people working in the process in process mining activities. We talk about Will's recommendations on how to convince top management to invest in process mining. He provides an outlook into the future of process mining and BPM in general, and we talk about how Will sees the influence of artificial intelligence on BPM and work in general. In this context, he also provides an interesting example of object-centric process mining at Lufthansa Group. We talk about his top recommendations on how to rethink process, and he shares where to learn more and how to start with process mining. So, enjoy the interview with Will van der Aalst.
And now, let's start to rethink process.
Yeah, welcome to the New Process Podcast, Will. It's great to have you here. Such an honor, and I'm really looking forward to learn more about process mining from the godfather of process mining. So, welcome, Will.
It's a joy to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, cool. Then let's dive right into the check-in. What do you prefer in an aircraft, aisle or window seat?
I always sit on the aisle side, and it's not because I have to go to the toilet often. I sit on the aisle side because at least then you have one arm that you can use when you're working on your laptop.
Yeah, that's so true. That's very good. And what is your favorite airport?
So I think the one that I have like the deepest memories and that I kind of enjoy a lot is in Singapore. And the reason is that I've been flying a lot to QUT in Brisbane. So yeah. Then I would fly from Europe to Brisbane. And it's a very long flight. And I would always stop in Singapore. And then like there is a gym there. So, right? So you could go into the gym, you can get a shower, and then you can continue. And I never did that at any other airport. I only did it there, and it has nice memories.
Yeah, for sure. That's good to know. Cool. And what was the best process you have ever experienced?
So the problem with processes is that you only really can tell that they are there when they don't work, right? So I think most people have the most vivid memories of processes that do not work well. Also, moving from the Netherlands to Germany, taking a family, having multiple houses, etc., I can tell a lot about processes that do not work. But to name a positive example of like in this transition, we had a holiday house in the Eiffel. That's like an area in Germany, and we sold that house because we now had another house in Germany. And that has been the best process that I've ever seen. I asked the broker, I want to sell this house. Can you take care of it? And the person more or less took care of it from beginning to end, right? I think it was a great experience. I've worked with other brokers and that was not so smooth.
Yeah, so you ordered it and in the end you just had to sign the contract and that's it?
Exactly, right.
Yeah, perfect. That's how it should be. Yeah, very, very good. Yeah, cool. Then let's get closer to the topic. And I would like to know, how would you describe your relationship to processes? And I'm really curious how you are going to describe that.
I think my relationship to processes is like very what many other people think and do with processes. I always think that other people should follow the process. But I myself see that I'm often taking shortcuts when I have to do something. And I think that's the problem that you often see with processes. We want other people to follow exactly the process, etc. But we ourselves always think that we have exceptions. So I'm fascinated by processes. Like, I often like to think about the 80-20 rule. That's kind of something that I start to appreciate a lot by doing process mining, is that if you talk about a process, it's always very simple, right? And what you can describe very quickly is covering 80% of all the behavior, etc. But all the problems and all the nastiness is in the remaining 20% that is causing all of the problems, etc., etc. And I think that after all these years is still fascinating, that phenomenon is always there somehow. There are processes, everybody thinks it's simple. And then you start looking at the data and you realize often it's simple, but in the remaining 20%, there is a lot of drama there.
Yeah, absolutely. That's already a perfect introduction to process mining, I would say. But how would you describe what process mining is to my 11-year-old daughter?
I do not know what her interests are, but one of the way that I often like to describe it, because it kind of shows also how important it is, I think many people have a notion of what a spreadsheet is, right? With a spreadsheet, you can do anything with numbers. You can add up numbers, do lots of stuff with numbers. I would like to think of process mining is the same as a spreadsheet, but then you're not working with numbers, you're working with events. So things that have happened. So the input for process mining is not numbers, but things that have happened. And then using process mining technology, you can get lots of, let's say, value and results out of that. So you can find out what people are really doing, where they are deviating, where the real bottlenecks are, et cetera, et cetera. So it's a very powerful technology that is very generic. And I think often if you try to use an example to explain process mining, you're immediately limiting the scope. The same as if you would say, yeah, I have a spreadsheet and I can use that to analyze my cash register or something like that. It becomes very small, while it's a very broad technology.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'll try that out later and ask her if she gets an idea of process mining. That's very good. So as you know, I'm doing a lot of research on how to get to a more human-centric BPM approach. And at the first glance, it might be a little bit contradicting talking about process mining on the one hand side and trying to get to a more human-centric approach. But how did you manage it to get the people working in the process excited about process mining to contribute to the projects, to the activities?
Yes, so I think that's a very good question. So I think the first thing is that processes have a lot more variability than people designing information systems like to think. Right. And I think people tend to work around systems in various ways because the system is very limiting and they find all kinds of creative ways of working around it. What I think is a much better solution is that you provide more flexibility, right? So you don't hard code certain rules and certain processes, etc. So you allow much more flexibility. But then you start analyzing what people are actually doing. As I said, I do not think that doing process mining is kind of that it becomes less human. Mm-hmm. So I think flexibility and process mining go hand in hand. Another thing that I think is very important is that we like to think about machine learning these days, where machine learning is automatically making decisions. I think process mining, although in certain stages of the process mining process, you can also apply machine learning, I think process mining is very different because it emphasizes that you are looking at models that people can interpret. And I think we always like to think that people do not like that. But I think in general, if people are working in a process, I think they are very interested in seeing what the process really is, especially if they see just a small part of it. So I think like flexibility and transparency, I think, are features that also help to strengthen more the human role in this. So one of the terms that we often use is what we call hybrid intelligence, where you combine machine intelligence with, let's say, human intelligence, where there are certain things where humans are very good at, there are other things where machines are very good at. And I think process mining is a kind of technology where you really need to have both. So my recent favorite examples would be related to what happened with COVID, with the supply chain crisis, et cetera, et cetera. Machine learning did not play a role, right? Because it was a new situation, there was no data. But at the same time, humans empowered with information. What is now really the status of my supply chain? What is really going on? And then making, let's say, informed decisions on top of that. I think these examples show that this combination is probably the best that one can get.
Okay, that sounds very good. And what would you recommend to a process owner on how to involve the people working in his process into a process mining project?
So I think that first, perhaps what I've observed is that, and that sounds horrible, that it's very good to approach process mining in a top-down fashion, right? I've seen many examples where process mining starts like a bottom-up initiative. So somebody says, hey, I've seen this technology, that's super cool, let's try to apply that. But the bottom line is that using process mining, you always see problems, right? It is in a way like it's a negative technology. If with you through process mining, you don't find any problems, right? If you don't have any problems, you don't need process mining. So that's why I think it's very important to make process mining a success, to approach it in a top-down manner. And I don't mean that in a negative sense. I mean that in the sense that you first need to agree that you would like to improve something and that you would first like to collect the data and then get these things started. So I think that that's like, I think, a very important lesson that I've learned, that without top-level management support, it is very difficult because you find trouble, right? And like, who is interested in finding problems, right? It's something that you need to think about very carefully. That's, I think, one thing. The other thing that I think is not used enough and that would be very useful is like process mining is providing a level of transparency that could be much more accessible to the people working in the process. So like if you're working in an organization that is delivering certain services or something like that, or you work in a production facility, why not show like process mining results in the canteen live, right? How is the process going? So that people see a connection between like what they are doing and what is actually visualized. And this is not to, let's say, reveal privacy-related things or to blame people, but just to create awareness that using process mining, you can make visible what you can normally not see. And that has value in itself. So I think having high-level management support and creating transparency are things that are very important. Then, but that's more on the way that you organize process mining in an organization. Like another thing that I've clearly seen, and also data is supporting that, if you have, let's say, companies that have a process mining center of competence, they are more successful than organizations that do not have that. And the reason why I think that that is the case is what I referred to earlier. Process mining is a very generic technology, right? So you can apply it everywhere. So from an investment point of view, it is not very smart to think of process mining, okay, I now do a project and I use process mining software. I think process mining should be seen as something that is continuous. You do it all the time. And you don't do it for one process, you do it for as many processes as possible. So it is like more a way of life in an organization. And I think to transfer that spirit that people really care about the quality of the processes that they are involved in, I think is something that could potentially be incredibly powerful. If you just see it as, okay, this is yet another project that is running for a couple of months, that will fail. That will definitely not work. Yeah. I'll take a sip of coffee. Yeah.
Cheers. Absolutely. And I was super happy when I realized that process mining is out there now, because we as BPM guys can finally generate data, which we can then use to calculate business cases. And it was always hard in the past to convince top management to invest into something if you don't have numbers. But now my question there would be, what is your experience with convincing top management to invest in process mining? Because then you need a license and you first have to build up people that are able to apply process mining. You have to get all the data in. This already costs a lot of money before you get real results out of it. What is your experience there in convincing top management to invest?
People are always interested in a big business case, right? And
yeah.
I think that is not always the best motivation. At the same time, if you compare it to classical BPM, I think making that business case is much easier, right? Because like I've also been involved in projects where lots of people would be modeling processes and having workshops, etc. And it was completely unclear what the outcome would be.
Yeah.
So I think process mining has kind of made BPM sexy again, and because it is evidence-driven. So let's say how to convince top management, I think that varies from organization to organization. But what I indicated earlier, I think it's very important to not start using process mining with the idea, I'm now going to analyze this process and then I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I think it's a generic technology that you should apply continuous at a large scale. Of course, let's say license cost and training, etc., are an issue. At the same time, if one looks at the costs, I think the costs are very reasonable, but it has to become the new normal. Yeah, so one could ask the same. There are, like I've often spoken in companies for, so then in a larger company, you would speak for 100 Six Sigma black belts, right? Having two-day workshop,
yeah.
And I have to give a keynote there. And then I was always wondering, okay, who is now paying for this, right? Well,
yeah.
Was there a business case? Probably not, but it had become, let's say, the normal thing to do. And
yeah.
My hope is that, let's say, process mining will get a similar role. And I think, especially, let's say, in the Netherlands, in Germany, etc., it is becoming something like that. That is the normal thing to do. It's part of the infrastructure. But there are, of course, many parts in the world where that is not the case yet.
Yeah. And do you see a trend that now top management, because they know each other, they are playing golf together, they are talking about process mining already, or are we not that far right now?
As I said, I think it varies very much from country to country. If you look in the Dutch and German setting, I think that is very much the case, right? That is not an unknown thing. In many other countries, that is not the case yet. And the hope that will change. So, of course, an interesting question is, like, why is, let's say, in this part of Europe, why is it so much further than in many other parts of the country? But if you think about process thinking in general, look where SAP is based, etc., I think we have also a kind of tradition which explains why it has started here. At the same time, so I just look at a country like Japan or something like that. There are other countries where, from a cultural point of view, it would also fit perfectly to lift process mining to a much higher level. And there it is simply that it is not widely applied simply because people do not know it exists, right?
Yeah.
If they know it exists, they will definitely consider it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, super cool. I love this development. And for me, process mining has taken BPM to a whole new level throughout the last 10 years. And I'm super thankful for all your efforts there pushing that ahead. Looking 10 years into the future, what are your expectations of where this will lead to?
Like, hopefully, process mining is getting new normal. I think also, as is something that I'm working on myself a lot, is what we call object-centric process mining.
Mm-hmm.
Where we, like the classical way in which that you use process mining is that you go to your source systems, you extract data from it, you automatically build a model, and based on the model, you see where are my compliance and performance problems. Mm-hmm. I think that works very well in many settings, but to, let's say, lift the level of maturity, I think it becomes very important that organizations are trying to build up, let's say, data related to their events and their objects without mm-hmm. having a specific analysis in mind. Think about many organizations are using many systems. In each of these systems, there are sometimes tens of thousands of tables filled with information where it is unclear if you would now like to run this organization and you would like to improve it. You have no idea where you would start and where you would end, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
I think the trend that I see is that process mining could become a layer on top of existing systems. Mm-hmm. But this requires that we first extract the data in a system neutral way. And it should mm-hmm. not depend on this is SAP, this version, this is Oracle, that version, or something like that. I think we should extract data at the right level that we would like to see if we talk about process improvement, and then use object-centric process mining to basically generate views on demand, looking at the process from a particular angle. And I really expect that that is something that is going to change the market very quickly.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, that's super interesting. And I remember discussions we had at Lufthansa, how to get the data from the different systems onto a meta level to be able to mine the data then. And okay, that's going into that direction. That's super cool. Okay. And what trends do you see regarding artificial intelligence there, ChatGPT and so on, combined with process mining?
Because you just mentioned Lufthansa. Like I gave a talk there, I think, 2 months ago at one of their main conferences. And like we have been analyzing various processes in Lufthansa. There are the standard things like the order to cash and the standard financial processes. But we have also been analyzing in Frankfurt and Munich, like the events that take place between when the plane is landing and when it takes off again, right? And, mm-hmm. and you would think, now naively, I did not think that there would be lots of events available, but there are surprisingly many events available, right? So that the gate open, gate close, boarding starts, boarding ends, luggage loading starts, luggage loading is completing, the cleaning crew goes in, et cetera, et cetera. So it's fascinating to see how many events are being recorded. And for me, that is a very interesting process. Like unlike the financial processes that are often very sequential, is that all of these things are happening at the same time, right? Mm-hmm. So passengers are boarding while the plane is being refueled, luggage is loaded and unloaded. So all of this is happening at the same time. And if one of these things doesn't work, the flight gets delayed.
Yeah.
And if it's the first flight in the morning and like it still has 8 flights to go, you can imagine if, I don't know, the cleaning crew is not there in time, the whole, like on all kinds of other airports, lots of chaos is being created. And so
Absolutely.
I think that's a super nice example of process mining that is very different, where it also shows that the value of seeing what is actually going on. In this example, if you think about it in an object-centric sense, you can see that just seeing this as a case is very narrow. It's much more diverse because the crew that is opening the gate is not working on a single plane, right? They have to be at many places at the same time, et cetera, et cetera. So you can only analyze that in a holistic way, and I find that fascinating. Now, to come to the question about machine learning, like if you think about, let's say, general machine learning, I think that many organizations, like I will talk about ChatGPT in a minute, but like if one think about the normal neural network stuff, I think many organizations, they feel that they should do something with it, but mm-hmm. they have no idea how to get started.
Yeah.
And the reason is that people think, okay, yeah, you train a neural network and it does whatever you want it to do. It is not so simple. So if you have SAP with 800,000 tables, there is not that you push a button and now improve my process and it will do something. I think people are very naive. They see we need to do something with machine learning, but they do not know where to start. And I think process mining is a very powerful technology to create machine learning problems. And when I say problems, I mean it positively, that using process discovery, doing conformance checking, doing bottleneck analysis, et cetera, you can collect the data and then automatically turn them into machine learning problems. So This will allow you to diagnose why there are certain compliance problems. This allows you to diagnose why there are certain bottlenecks. This allows you to predict how long a case is still running. And so it opens up all these possibilities. And you can only articulate the problem itself if you have done first process mining. And if you think about process discovery, conformance checking, and all of these things, they are very different from neural networks. So I think it's very important that people understand process mining is related to machine learning, but at the same time, the techniques that are used inside are very different from neural networks, etc. Let's say, talking about the standard way of applying machine learning algorithms. Of course, what we have witnessed in the last half year is like there is now something really fundamentally changing with the large language models, right? Mm-hmm. And it's visible for everybody. Everybody in the street is talking about it. This is fascinating how like these large language models are, let's say, flexible, and you can basically apply them to anything and it will generate something. Yeah. So on the one hand, I'm a bit skeptical. If you want to use a calculator, use a calculator, right? Don't start using something generative. And I think many of the problems that organizations are facing, I think it's better that they use a calculator rather than they start using something sophisticated. We know that 60% of all containers are shipped empty, right? And you're interested in machine learning, et cetera, first address these problems. And only when address these problems, focus on the rest. So on the one hand, I'm skeptical in the sense that I think there is so much low-hanging fruit that you can apply with let's say, standard process mining tools where you don't want to use that. Also, what I said earlier, the link to machine learning, what I always say, only do machine learning if you have done the other stuff. Right? Yeah. You need to do the other stuff. You cannot start with machine learning. That doesn't work. So that is the skeptical part. The more optimistic part is it will probably change a lot the way that people are interacting with for example, process mining software. Right? I think this technology will help us to formulate questions in natural language. Just like at this point in time, ChatGPT is very good at generating SQL code, right? We are now also, let's say, looking at implementations of automatically generating PPQL code, for example, in the context of Celonis, where you formulate a query in natural language, and it is translated in let's say, very complicated queries.
Yeah.
Of course, one should always be careful, because if you don't understand, let's say, the output, right, and you don't check it, it can also be very misleading. Yeah. So I think the way that we interact will change, but I think in many organizations there is a lot of other low-hanging fruit that's happening.
Yeah.
Of course, having said that, and going a bit outside of the process mining space, of course this is going to change many jobs, right? Not so much the people managing the processes, but there will be many tasks in these processes which are now done by, I don't know, 10 people, that in the future will be done by 3 people just because they become much more efficient. I think this will be a real change in the working place, that many, let's say, jobs will completely change.
Yeah, absolutely. That's definitely a topic for sure. And I also learned that AI is not very good with regards to emotions. So especially talking about human-centric BPM, there is still a chance that we have to fight, even if ChatGPT is there and is applied for sure. So one of the new process principles is to encourage diversity and inclusion through processes. And I would be really interested in your view onto this, completely different topic. So what are your experiences with regards to being sensitive to different cultures, the uniqueness of people and their specific needs in the context of processes?
Yeah, so in the context of process, I'm not so sure. Like, of course, if you look at teams, like I think that has been shown often before, is that it is very good to have diversity in teams, right? And also if I look at, like I work in an area which is very much male dominated. So if I teach my classes, I don't know, 80% is male, 20% is female. If, however, I look in my research group, like it's much more balanced, right? So there is a gender balance. And also in my group, I think there are less than half of the people are from Germany, right? So it's quite diverse. And I can see the importance of that. At the same time, it is not so clear like what kind of implications that would have for if you talk about in general about process technology, right? I think it's very important to build diverse teams. I think it's also more fun to work. But at the same time, what it means, like in terms of, for example, tool support or something like that, it is not so clear. Right? That, like research-wise, but that's a different topic a bit. Like and I'm also teaching that, like I've been working on what we call responsible data science. And that is where we, for example, look at issues like fairness, right? If you make certain conclusions about people, are these conclusions fair? And there we for example, look at, let's say, decision processes under certain constraints. For example, that like a German person has an equal probability of getting admitted to university as a non-German person, right? You can extend your algorithms with these types of things. That is, let's say, something that I find intriguing. At the same time, it is still very far away from real applications, I feel.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We'll see how this will develop in the future. That's super interesting. And applying your overall experience onto rethinking processes, so to get to a more human-centric process management approach and to inspire people for processes, what are your top three recommendations?
So I think I've mentioned a few of them, right? So first of all, for organizations, don't see it as a project, see it as something that is ongoing. It's a way of life. You need to create a culture where people really want processes to be better, not so much of increasing, let's say, yet another business case, right? I think that is more at the organizational level. Then more at the personal level, I think it is inevitable that we go towards a more data-driven society, whether we like it or not. Data will increasingly play a role. And I think in that setting, I think education is super important, right? And I see now a bit the problem, and also see that with my students, is that many people start using, for example, machine learning and AI as a black box. And I think that's a very bad development, right? People should really be able to understand what is going on and use that. So these would be my main points, right? Yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, thank you so much for all these insights. Where can our listeners learn more about your activities? I know there are a lot of sources out there, but what's the first one you would direct the listeners to?
I cannot stop at one, right? So if I would make a list, that is my own website, vdaalst.com or .de, right? That is where you find many things. I think many people are not aware of that there is this website, processmining.org, which provides many pointers to data sets, software, et cetera, et cetera. There are several, let's say, online courses. So I created a Coursera course based on my book a few years ago. I think if you're interested in the foundations, I think it's still very valid. We are also, let's say, currently working on several edX courses that are new. What is also interesting, but is more for the people that more want to specialize in this topic, there is also, we organized a summer school here in Aachen last summer. And there is something called the Handbook of Process Mining. And this is open access. Let's say the top lecturers in the field of process mining all came to Aachen and gave the lectures based on that. And based on that, we have created the book and videos. So I think there are lots of, let's say, ways that you can either go at an introductory level or go much deeper. These days, there's lots of information available.
Okay. I'm going to put all the links into the show notes so it's easier for the listeners to find the sources.
Thank you.
That's very good. And one of my last questions in every interview is always, do you have a recommendation at which tool or method or to which expert I should talk to get more ideas to rethink processes?
So I think it's very important that you, like I could not name a single expert, I would say, right? There are lots of great academics working in this field. There are also, let's say, many great practitioners, and like naming one would be very difficult. Right, I think that it's very important to really understand the technology to make your hands dirty yourself, right? And there are several, let's say, tools available. Like many of the commercial companies are, let's say, providing, let's say, easy access, that you can just play with it. Mm-hmm. There are also, of course, things like PROM and PM4Py, so open access. So I would highly recommend people to just do it themselves on their own Mickey Mouse examples, right? I think that is doing it yourself and experiencing it, I think will give you a much better insight than that somebody talks about it. You need to experience it, that you can see what is now the connection between the real data that you can look at and what comes out of it. And if you have to do it yourself to understand that relationship. It's not that somebody can talk about it and that you would then understand it. And that's why I point people more back to themselves rather than to some guru or expert.
Yeah, that's very good. And I can fully confirm that, because I, in the past, did the same. We just exported data from our own tool, from the process we were working on, and imported that into a process mining tool. And results were eye-opening and surprising how easy it is and how fascinating it can be to dive deeper into the connections and find out why we have this here and so on. So absolutely, that's a perfect recommendation. Thank you very much. Before we leave the aircraft, before we finish this episode, is there anything else you would like to share with our listeners?
Not really.
Perfect. Doesn't have to be. And finally, how would you describe your flight experience here today with just three words?
Yeah, so I'm very bad at saying things in three words. But I I flew a plane myself for the first time.
Okay.
I think 2 weeks ago or so, I flew it myself here near Aachen. And this conversation was much easier than flying a plane. So it was great talking to you. I think I always value, let's say, people like you that are, let's say, helping to make this topic more visible. As I've said, in my part of the world, it is very visible. But I think there are many parts in the world or many communities where it is not visible enough. So I really appreciate that you're doing that.
Thank you so much. I will keep on pushing BPM ahead, and thank you so much, Will, for being my guest and sharing all your knowledge here on the New Process Podcast. So have a great day. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Let's recap today's New Process Inspiration.
Yeah, what an honor to have Will as guest in New Process Podcast. I'm super grateful for all the work he's doing to, as he said, make BPM sexy. So in my perception, thanks to process mining, BPM is finally a topic also top management is talking about. So that's why I'm super thankful for all his work here. And I hope this will push BPM further ahead in the future. So recapping the interview, what really stays in my mind the most is his statement that process mining will become the new normal as a tool for continual improvement. So we'll see how this will really work out, because investing into process mining is still an investment which has to be done, but hopefully with enough attention, this will not be a question in the future anymore. So with regards to human-centric BPM approach, I find his view important that process mining creates transparency, which is necessary to make educated decisions, and that fully fits to the new process principles here. And yeah, I can agree that process mining really helps to create transparency on processes. And this becomes more and more important in a data-driven society for which we have to prepare and educate ourselves. So I can only support his recommendation to learn more about process mining. Try it out yourself and experience process mining on your own. You'll find all the links he recommends in the show notes, which you can easily get to by following newprocesslab.com/episode32. In the next episode, which will be another expert interview, we're going to talk about change in complex organizations. And there we'll also talk about process mining in this context. So super cool practical example as well. But for now, thank you very much for listening. Have a great day. Bye-bye und auf Wiedersehen.
You've been listening to the New Process Podcast. Make sure to subscribe so you don't miss the next episode for more tools, methods, and best practices to rethink your process and push it to the next level. Thank you for listening.
Before you leave, process mining is one way to improve processes, but there are many other ways. So if you'd like to get more ideas on how to rethink processes, you can download my free new process checklist, which provides a lot of impulses on how to push your process to the next level. To download it, just go to newprocesslab.com/checklist. Have a great day. Bye-bye.